The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Festival we've had in many years. I feel in a way, I don't know about the Irish English Challenge. We'll get to that in a bit. But I just think in terms of, I mean, like, unfortunately, Rachel Blackmore is retired because she was such a big draw for the front pages and for the wider audiences. But then you've had Constitution Hills not running today in the Champion Hurdle. Galopin des Chances is not running in the Gold Cup. You know, State Man is not here this year. Narciso has a really exciting juvenile hurdle. But then again, you got all the other stories, Johnny, that we've spoken about. Jimmy Mangan with a runner in the Gold Cup, only 10 horses down in Cork, and the King Brothers with Oscar's brother tomorrow. JP McManus is 75 today, the most successful owner in the history of the Cheltenham Festival. He's hoping to have a winner in the Champion Hurdle. You got three mares in that race. Look, there's Irish trainers who've never had a winner here going with chances this week. There'll always be stories. I mean, you think, okay, well, this is a story about Rachel Blackmore winning a big race, or you'd have maybe an Irish bonanza of 23 winners during COVID. But actually, remember the Champion Hurdle last year when we had the two fallers in that race. Constitution Hill fell and then State Man fell. So actually, sometimes the races themselves can be the story. So we don't know. But right now, Johnny, we are full of our dreams. We are full of our hopes. Our shirts are pristine. There's no ketchup. There's no shirts being lost to silliness. And
I just feel that. Anything like that.
No stains. Everything is very pure and clean. And everybody's got a dream. There's 111 horses. When I was growing up, the 111 was the bus nearest to me. 111 horses running today, 128 tomorrow. And let's get the greatest show on turf up and running, because there'll be over 60,000 people here today and we can't wait for it.
What's the buzz like? I love how you've stayed with kind of the same couple for years. You stay very close to the racetrack. It's Cheltenham's a magical place.
Yeah, the first year I went to Bristol, that was a mistake. And then the second year I went to meet Malcolm and Betty, who are become great friends of mine, big rugby people here in Gloucestershire, and stayed with them on the road outside the race course. And one of the positives of that is that I can be here early in the morning. I'm first person here, Johnny, generally every year. And you can just soak up the first couple of days when there's just nobody here, because there's kind of a beauty eeriness to it. When the racetrack is completely empty, and then you know whatever, within 24 hours, that'll be absolutely heaving. And at a 1:29, it used to be 1:29, it'll be 1:19 p.m. because 1:20 is now the post time for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. There'll be that almighty roar, and there's just no roar like it in racing. I mean, I haven't been to the Japan Cup, I haven't been to the Melbourne Cup, maybe they're comparable, but in this part of the world, Johnny, there is nothing like that. Maybe that anticipation, and then roar goes up for the Supreme Novices Hurdle, and then they are going flat out. There's no dawdle here. There's no kind of maiden hurdle dawdle back in Ireland. You might see sometimes in the winter on bad ground. This is no holds barred, no quarter given, and then it's just punches, the best punches you can ever have to your face for 28 times over the next 4 days. The most beautiful punches.
The most beautiful punches, yeah. So no shirts, stained. We still have our shirts. The shirts look pristine, as JD said, and JD will give charity bets closer to the wire, and we're going to go for roughly another half an hour on this pod today, and Tom Bugsy Malone will be here shortly. He's so excited that he couldn't make it on time, and JD, you sent your running order at 1:37 a.m. last night. That's dedication for you.
Well, that's it. I was burning the candle, Johnny, not at both ends, but it was burning because I never have a drink at Cheltenham ever. But I was just trying to find, because there's just so many difficult races to work out here. And I'm just going through, like, even looking at the market moves, Johnny, today, right? So the 1:20, the first race, Sober Glory, which I don't know, it will be the condition of everybody here by the end of Friday. Sober Glory,
yeah.
7-1, a big money for this horse, Philip Hobbs and Johnson White. Old Park Star, the 9-4 favourite for the opening race. For Nicky Henderson, Kopeck de Bord and Lulamba both 6-4 for the Arkle Chase at 2 o'clock. Pretty solid in the market, the pair of them. The 2:40 Manlaga is the 11-2 favourite. Nicky Henderson's horse in the colours of JB McManus, his stablemate Mustang Dubroy, 7-1, bit of money for him. Quinto de Lago, Harwa, and Hardy Stuff all attracting money, Johnny, at bigger prices. The 3:20 then, the Ultima Handicap Chase Jaguar, the 7-2 favourite. We got money for Myertown, last year's winner, Highland, Knight of Allen, Imperial Saint, and Pater Merchant between the colours of Michael O'Leary. The champion hurdle, 4 o'clock. Lossie Maz, 7-4 favourites to win the champion hurdle for the first time. She's never been beaten at the festival. Golden Ace, 10-1. Alexi, 16-1. A bit of a nibble for that one for Joe Tizard. The new lion, a negative in the market this morning for the champion hurdle. Brighter days ahead, neutral, Johnny. 4:40, down memory lane where we always go at Cheltenham. 7-1, bit of money for that. Zurich, for all the Swiss fans of the racing pod here today. 9-1 for that. O'More Park, 12-1, bit of money for that. Grandeur Dam, bit of a nibble at 40s. Then the 5:20, Newton Tornado, 11-2 for Rebecca Curtis. Iceberg Theory for Paul Nolan and Wexford, money for that into 5-1. Carasso Blue in the hands of Jack Kennedy, 6-1. Back Me or Sack Me, who I know you like, Johnny, is a negative in the market. That's the market moves for day one of Cheltenham here.
Incredible stuff, JD, and the putative allies in the neutral stakes, the Swiss, you know. Welcome to the show. Welcome, JD, to the show, obviously, but welcome Bugsy Malone. Where were you? What happened?
Some various forms of public transport there.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Oh,
it's magic.
It's absolutely magic, isn't it? I mean, and the sun's come out as well. Lovely morning in Dublin City, and it's just, it's great. And also, like, look at these markets. It's completely flipped.
Love
it's
it.
I love it. The last
this
48
is what people
hours
don't
have been
get.
Brilliant.
If you don't get racing, you don't get. The market is more compelling sometimes than the race itself. What's going to go off favourite? Where's all the money going?
I know, and like, we've talked about the Supreme as been the craziest market all year long, and now here we are again, you know, with... Finally, O'Parks are solidifies favoritism. El Cairo's taken a huge drift. Mighty Park has drifted. Talk the Talk is solid. Money for Sober Glory. He was 12s. That's what I love. That's what you want. And that's what you want. That first race. Lots of market moves, not this 6-4, 4-5 opening.
In the Brown Advisory last year, lads, there were 3 trainers and 7 runners. This year, there are 16 runners in the race. The novice races are fantastic, but we're going to start with the champion hurdle straight over to Bugsy Malone. The prices at the moment, it looks very likely, as JD said, that Lossie Mouth will go off favourite. The new line has been weak, JD said, and that's definitely one of the more notable aspects of the day. I cannot have Lossie Mouth at the price.
Now,
if she hadn't run at Leopardstown, I'm not sure I'd make her favourite. She did run at Leopardstown. You can't ignore that. She was flat on the day. Cheek pieces for the first time today. And she does run 9 runners.
Yeah, and look, the mare's obviously, she's obviously taken a little bit of turn for the better. There's no doubt. She's obviously better in herself. You kind of see the videos around the race course. She's lively and bright. And look, that can just be, Willie Mullins mentioned that a couple of weeks out. You know, a little bit of sun, they're back. The mares in particular, they can just... bring them to life a little bit. You know, it sounds like those last 2 pieces of work made that decision for them. Cheek pieces, it's running in the champion hurdle. And why wouldn't you? It's a wide open champion hurdle. Like, we give out about the mare's hurdle, but 3 of the top 4 here are mares, including the reigning champ, Golden Ace. However, I'm with the new line.
Okay, so you're with the new line. It's JP McManus's 75th birthday today, and let's hope the 3
of us... He could nearly go through the card.
Would you, at this stage, we're recording here at 10:20 a.m, would the drift worry you?
Not really. It's solid enough. I mean, he's been kind of 11-4. You know, if you're going to have 11-4 a week out from the race, you're happy enough with 3-130 on the day, aren't you?
If you get 3s, would you back him each way? A quarter of the odds, William Hill, on this race?
Ooh, I don't know. But I think he has more obvious improvement in him. Like, last year, he was absolutely brilliant. You know...
definite upside.
Like, okay, he stepped at a hurdle in the fighting fifth. If put some maybes, but I feel like falling at hurdles has been exacerbated by the Constitution Hill situation. You know what I mean? Lots of good hurdlers fall because they take a risk. He takes a risk. There's no obvious situation where they're going to go an absolute million early doors here. They should, because it's a champion hurdle. But you know, with like. Yeah, maybe Anzandam is going to put the pace to the race, but I don't
know.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. If I fancy Anzandam in the race, I might as well chuck my medals in the bin, to paraphrase Brian Clough. Chuck my dock in the bin. JD, he's Anzandam. Surely not going to make the pace. What will make the pace?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest. Look, I mean, could it be the case that Paul Tennant decides to go out in front on Lossie Maz?
It's very possible.
If it goes steady at the start, if he can dictate, look, probably I don't think they can let brighter days ahead dictate.
I don't think they can let brighter, because if brighter days ahead is right this year at Cheltenham, because there seems to have been excuses for, like, the Golden Ace defeat now doesn't look too bad, to be honest, a couple of years on. And obviously, if she was not right last year, isn't the whole point of brighter days ahead a bit like a chaser, that she gets into a rhythm and she's a relentless galloper and will put you to the sword? So you have to be, you can't let brighter days ahead get a soft lead in this. So, what happens with Poneros? I'm absolutely fascinated. Will Poneros be a completely different horse than he was on his first run of the season? He, to me, is a fly in the ointment in this one. But Paul Townend rides Lassie Mez. To be honest, lads, it's not a very sexy thing to be saying with seven races here and so many options for betting. For me, it's a no-bet race. It's a bet race to watch. Lassie Mez, I don't know if it's quick enough to win the race. Brighter Days Ahead is disappointed here before. That's a factor. The New Lion, to me, is probably the most likely winner. I love the way he kind of, he lunged and he loomed up with the Yellow Clay and Final Demand in that race last year. Had a bit of class about him, had a bit of zip about him. And if he can reproduce that, even over a shorter distance, like Faheen did and Istabak did and Harley Eustace did in the longer race into the shorter race, but he's no penalty kick either. The market is an interesting thing. Alexi, I don't know if he's got the class. Tutti Quanti might want softer ground. I mean, I wouldn't even put off your bet. Amsterdam probably looks like a good bet each way, Johnny. Willie Mullins in the Sporting Life column described it as a difficult ride, Amsterdam. But if it all clicks and it all comes together, work ahead is 100-1. To be honest, I don't have a really strong view in the race. If you don't have a strong view, I wouldn't be putting my money anywhere.
You certainly don't need to be betting on every race at Cheltenham. Like, there are 20 races over the week. You don't need to be doing that. Bet responsibly throughout the week. This race, just to note, and we're going down like a lot of whataboutery here. This time last year, Brighter Days Ahead was far, far shorter in the market than State Man, who Paul Townend absolutely said is better than Lossie Mouth. Now, Brighter Days Ahead did not perform at all at Cheltenham. She's for me, she's almost forgotten about in the race. Some very good judges putting her up. The price discrepancy between her and Lossie Mouth is complete and utter madness, notwithstanding everything else in the race. Final word to you.
Yeah, if you're going to back one of the mares, you have to just back Brighter Days Ahead on the prices. But yeah, I just think the New Line has the highest ceiling, is on the way up. And I'm okay with his jumping.
Constitution Hill will be there. He'll be paraded. But at the same time, no, I'm kind of over it now. It's still actually a fascinating race. It would have been, I'd love if he were there, but let's not talk about who isn't there. Let's talk about who is there. And the Supreme Novice Hurdle, Bugsy.
What a race.
I love it. What's going to win it?
I thought I was in clever with Sober Glory yesterday when he was about 12-1, and now he's about 7, so I don't know, because that, like, the price about El Kairos, I just...
Bizarre.
It's bizarre. I mean, I just want to see him in the parade ring, just see he's there, see he's all right, and at sort of 8-9-1, that's just an... I just can't not have that price. You know, like, Mighty Park has gone to his proper price now. He had a kind of pub talk price before, didn't he? Like, just that, like... You know, preview panel nonsense.
A lot of genuine hype around him.
There was so much hype, but
he is dead in the market this morning.
But look at that. There isn't a bean from Old Park Star, solid. Talk the Talk, probably the best of the Irish two milers. And then you've El Kairos, who's arguably achieved a similar level of form, and he's nearly double the price. So, yeah, I was going to go with Sober Glory, but the price for El Kairos, unless there's something absolutely terribly wrong with him, I very tempted with El Kairos.
This, JD, is exactly, in my view, what Cheltenham should be. It's a terrific, terrific race. Leader Dallier for me at the price is 11-1 with Hills. Each way, what do you like?
I like Leader Dallier as well. I mean, Johnny, I know Patrick Mullins spoke to you in the autumn, I think, for the currency, and I interviewed Patrick Mullins in depth for the racing pod back in November, just to reflect on the year, because he had the Aintree Grand National victory. I just said, look, just give us one horse to follow for the season. He said Leader Dallier. He could have picked so many horses out of all the Willie Mullins string and all the champions that they have, and he picked Leader Dallier. So, I mean, he's not putting us wrong. He's not sending us in the wrong direction up a wild goose chase. Willie Mullins said yesterday that the horse has got a good each way chance. He's won 5 races in France. Forget about the first run, if you consider that, look, he was only getting his match sharpness for the second run where he won, I think, an Egg and Spoon race at Punchestown. But Leader Dallier, like, if you look back, right, if this horse, like, contends, you go, well, God, that horse is a big price for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend in a championship race at Cheltenham.
Totally.
So therefore, I think about 11-1, I think he's each way value. But I'm surprised that all the Irish horses need to be negative in the market. Old Park Star, very strong for Nicky Henderson and Sober Glory. But once again, but like the Champion Hurdle, like, five or six could win this, and that's the beauty of it. It is going to be a fascinating race for next year. Who comes out of this race?
Absolutely. And the other thing, you know, I feel like people who blindly back favourites are at least getting a bit of a run for the money here. You know, you're going in at 9-4 in the first race. You're not asked to go in at 4-5 or even money or something like that. I think plenty of people are still back Old Park Star, and he's a very, very worthy favourite. And arguably, you know, from what we've seen in the past, and prices horses go off in Supreme, like there's a case we made for backing him at that price.
Well, Constitution Hill went off 9-4 in this race.
Who went off joint favourite with him?
It was the Dysart Dynamo.
John Bonn.
Dysart Dynamo went off favourite with him.
What a race that was. John Bonn ran well. And I backed Shishkin in this race at sixes on the day, and he was dead in the market. So,
yeah,
like,
he touched tens at one stage that morning.
I'm like an old, a broken record here. One of the biggest challenges for me as a punter is backing a horse who drifts and all the doubts that go into your head. But this is Cheltenham. Horses are trying here. Everyone is out. Horses are being handicapped or anything like that. Brings us on to the 2 o'clock. The one disappointment of the day, apart from Constitution Hill, if we've gotten over that, is that we don't have the full field of 8 runners in the Arkell. Moreover, now, Mamba number 5 has been scratched. It's a 6 runner singer, Arkell Bugsy, but it's 6-4 each of two. 6-4 Copic, 6-4 Lulamba. If you put 40 on each of these, which is an 80 euro bet, you should get 100 quid back. It's 1-4 the two of them. I'd prefer to back that to lay it, but each to
yeah,
each
I mean, there are many times, you know, if you wouldn't really fancy being a bookmaker, and this is probably one of them, because it does look an absolute bang match.
But if they get a result, they are quids in.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely are. I prefer Lulamba to Copic to board.
Same here.
I just think what he's achieved on the track. I'm trying to be more... I'm trying to not get sucked into the hype this year.
I
know.
Come on, it's Cheltenham.
Like, I know, but you can't.
Life is a stressful place. Just get sucked in by the hype. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm a big Lulamba fan.
Lulamba's gone favourite.
There we go.
JD, but before we go back, get back to Bugsy, Lulamba has just gone favourite with William Hill.
Yeah, and look, it's what you judge what we've seen this season. What we've seen this season is Lulamba beat bigger, older horses at Newbury. What we've seen is Lulamba be very unlucky to be defeated in the Triumph Hurdle last year and then went and won a Punchestown. So this horse, but five-year-olds have got a weak enough record in the race. I think Void Perstedes was the last five-year-old who won it. So that is a negative for Lulamba. The negative for Copic de Bord, only Well Chief and Western Warhorse this century have gone and won an Arkell off one run. But if you can take at face value that the horse did go for schooling sessions recently and like proper schooling sessions where you have to jump against good horses, and was very impressive, according to all reports, in those races. If you're taking that as something comparable to what we're going to see at Cheltenham today, then Copic de Bord, for me, is the most likely winner of the race. Look, he was a really impressive winner of the Supreme last season. Then he folded like a tent at Punchestown. That is the one negative. So Lulamba's age, maybe, and the fact that he could be a Gold Cup horse of the future and maybe one further, and then Copic de Bord, can he just turn it up and produce it on the day? But in terms of talent, that actually puts Cargheesy, like, it's a real shame about the 8 runners, he said, because you definitely, if it was 8 runners, you'd be back in Cargheesy or Cargheesy, whatever way you want to pronounce her, because the way she ran against Romeo Cudrio the last day. To be honest, again, guys, I'm not trying to be some kind of spoil sport here on day one of Cheltenham. It's a race to watch, not to bet in.
This is a brilliant race to watch, because Cargheesy does bring a tactical element to it as well. You know, she could go and really put them under pressure early doors here and see what happens. Like, you know, Danny Mullins likes to think his own race and do his own thing, so he won't be there pooching around for third. Like,
absolutely, if there's one thing Danny Mullins will not be doing, it's riding for somebody else, and fair play to him. Either Lulamba for both of us in studio, and JD's folding like a tent. You should see my tents.
Copic.
Okay. JD's folded like a 10. You want to see my tents at festivals? They just never get off the ground. Like, you know, yeah. But just let somebody else. Just can't somebody else do it? Let's get on to the Fred Winter. Gordon Elliott, we go to you first this time, JD. Gordon Elliott scoffed at me the other day when I said, I'm actually looking forward to this race more than certainly most races at the festival because of the plots, all of the horses. Some didn't actually get in. They were plotted too well. One horse who did get in is Saratoga, half brother to Brazil. Oh my God, he's been 10-1 this morning. He's hit 10-1 with William. What is going on? Saratoga, half brother to Brazil, beat Gaelic Warrior in this race. JD, over to you.
Winston Jr., why is Jack Kennedy riding for a trainer that's not Gordon Elliott in this race? We know Gordon Elliott's got a great record in this race, and Jack Kennedy is riding for Faye Bramley of Glengooley fame from the Racing Pod. Dustin Carthy, who's a very successful bookmaker, and I think Ronnie Barton is involved in the ownership of this horse, and Paul Shanahan. So there's definitely a connection with the McManus, you know, family, yes, and with Coolmore and all the people are involved there. So Justin, great guy, and from Bray, and Winston Jr. to me has got course experience, hacked up the last time. This is obviously the plan, and one of the best riders in the race, and Jack Kennedy on it. And 7-1 is now quite appealing first. But then again, this is a bit of a darkened room race, folks. This is like the old Triumph Hurdle years ago, when you had to go into a darkened room and be told that it's over, get the knock on the door, it's over.
No,
you didn't lose your money
on
this because
this is a race. I know you
had put your hands together last year, Johnny, but like Winston Jr. to me, like you really want to be guys to be pretty confident of your plot. If you think there's a plot in here, you want to be pretty confident that yours has got a bit in hand.
With
the course experience, Winston Jr. for me each way at sevens.
Okay, over to you, Bugsy. What a race.
I just, as John said there, the plots, I think it was Martin Pipe, was it with Unsinkable Boxer, and a trainer came over and said, how'd you win that? My horse had 10 pounds in hand to go with my lad at 30.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the situation here. Look.
It is like that old adage where the jockey comes in and the trainer says, okay, the horse wasn't trying, but he said, those three horses in front of you, you're absolutely confident you beat them the next day. I sure am. I wouldn't be confident about beating the ones behind me, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And that race in Ace comes to mind, but anyway.
Anyway, I'm just going to go for one at a big price. As JD says, it's a long week. Just go for one each way. And I'll stick with Gordon Elliott. Barbizon was a classy flat horse. Has some really nice form.
Really,
really
disappointed
really
me.
Solid handicappers.
JD mentioned, very noble that Jack Kennedy doesn't. He's not bound to ride for them here, and he gets to ride on Faye Bramley's horse.
Yeah, and Josh Williamson comes in on Barbizon. Look, the O'Learys and the Williamsons would be very close and they'd have no problem, but and no harm getting an extra five off as well when you're up near the top of the weights. But like, it's a pretty condensed handicap. So look, I just think Barbizon probably has enough class to outrun it. 25 to 1, I think, is a very fair price.
Perfect. We're sticking with Bugsy for the 320, and it's really nice scheduling the 40 minute gaps, but that's fine at Cheltenham, and it builds up to the 4 o'clock, the Champion Hurdle, before which we have the Ultimate Handicap Chase. Again, John P. McManus on his 75th birthday has a strong hand. Speculative Johnny Who for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to have a bet today, I would say I'd go overs in the amount of times Jake McManus' birthday will get mentioned. But
that's over 259 and a half.
No, the horse I back here is Quebecois. Paul Nichols, really consistent sort, has sort of graded form coming into it, down near the bottom of the weights, on an upward curve. Look, I love Myertown and what he did last year, but he's been so bad this year.
He's going to be a fun watch for some of the races.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'd love him to come back, but look, Quebec was a just solid, small, each-way bet for me. Like, a few others came into it, like the handstands and Johnny Who, but with three handicap chases today, so, let's not go too mad on them.
Johnny Who, John Duggan?
Johnny Who's got to be respected, given he was so close last year to winning the Kim Muir. I knew my Cheltenham last year was going into the quicksand. I was disappearing into it when I had agonising choice between Jimmy Desoy and Sander Clegane in the Carl Cup, and I went for Sander Clegane, and Jimmy Desoy won at 16s, and I knew my Cheltenham was over then. It was over. Your Cheltenham is over.
No, now, come on, JD. There's always hope.
Now, this rising choice over Quebecois, who I think has been laid out for the race and has won over 3 miles an hour, and Confusion at 22-1. With Confusion double the price, I've decided to go for Confusion each way as my selection. Was a very good winner at Weatherby at Christmas for Sue Smith and Joel Parkinson, and Sue Smith had Vintage Class win this a few years ago. And look, I think this race, one thing about this race is, from watching it for many years, you have to have prominent racers. If you're a horse that's caught out the back in this, when they're consistently turning the horses in a big handicap chase, if you're trying to make up ground in this race, you want to have a jockey with a lot in hand. So I think you'd be looking for prominent races and racers in this one. That might mean that Confusion is a sitting duck, but to finish in the first four, for finishing the first five at a quarter of the odds for 22-1 William Hill, that's good enough for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, on to the 4:40, JD, and let's get into Let's get into let's get into another song. You missed us at the start, JD. And I will go over to you on this one, JD. South of the border, down Mexico way. Are you a down Mexico way fan here? Or like me, do you like Mac Lowry, who like pretty much everything I fancy today is on the drift?
Who sang Down Mexico Way?
Oh, don't know. Johnny Ward there anyway.
Yeah.
Who did sing, yeah. JD?
You could be Jungle Boogie.
People at the start, we've certainly lost it now. What do you like, JD, in the 440? This is a very, very difficult old Sun Racing plate like handicap chase.
O'More Park, because I had a bit of money on him last year in the race that Caldwell Potter won at the festival, and he was placed, and he's in my charity bets, and there was money from, he's been backed into 12-1 in the colours of Rich Ritchie. He's actually never won, but Sean O'Keefe gets a good tune out of him. And I think he's also been placed here in the April Festival. So Courses for Courses, O'More Park was the one I like. And Down Mexico Way, you'd have to respect. It's like from the perspective of Zurich, I mean, Darragh O'Keefe, the stable jockey, has chosen Down Mexico Way. He ran in that race behind Romeo Culio and Carghisi. So this would be an easier assignment. But this, once again, folks, sometimes you look for a class horse in this. Remember, Mr. McGoldrick won it, I think, at 66-1 years ago. But Peaky Boy is very interesting. If Peaky Boy, who was sold for a lot of money and has won three times the course for Nicky Henderson and was then sold to John G. O'Neill, but has jumped really poorly and there's no money for it in the market. But that was the horse that, if it was back to its old self, at 25-1 could be worth an interest. But my selection is O'More Park.
Loves it around Cheltenham. What do you like?
Yeah, I was actually, again, this is a race I just dread, so I wasn't going to go mad on it. And I fell on Peaky Boy as well. Just a bit of back class, as John said. Look, John G. O'Neill, he'll only have chances in handicap chases these days. So, look, John Doe Jr. rides. He's serious back class, like really classy novice. He fell last time out. He has had the wind up. So, you know, like I said, he's had his jumping issues, but if you just get into a bit of a rhythm, like I said, he's enough class to hold his own for a while. And I just thought it's small each way, but not one to be.
Okay, that brings us on to the finale. And we're going to guess naps from the three of us. JD will also have charity wagers as well. We're really thankful to our sponsor, William Hill, which has, you know, done so much in racing in the last while. And this is why bookmakers love racing, because of the Cheltenham Festival. And I dare say, JD, because of handicaps like this, it's another toughie to finish 5.20. I'm actually just going to cede my loyalty to Paul Byrne here, who gave me very, very strong back me or sack me line last week. He's been weak in the market as well. What do you like, JD?
Yeah, it's tough, this one. Look, you need a good jumper. Once again, I think this race is, like, the great thing about Cheltenham this year is that it's much more competitive, it feels. Like, you would have had maybe only a handful of runners in this, and quite a boring race, to be honest. And now this would be quite an exciting race. Totally. You can make a case for loads of them. The one I liked, actually, and he's drifting in the market again, is Ollie Murphy, the trainer, and Sean Bowen have never had, neither of them had a winner at the Cheltenham Festival. They both team up with Wade Out. She's a very lazy horse, and I don't mean that in a kind of a negative way. He's just a laid-back kind of character. Had to almost be rousted, like synchronized, when he won the Gold Cup, when he won here at the course earlier this season. Looked like he was going to be beaten about a distance, and then he ended up going away. He's got an extra, 6 furlongs now, Wade Out. If his jumping does improve, I can see him. And if he's there on the premises, I can see him coming home quite quickly to give Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy maybe a first festival winner about 10-1 each way. But I think actually the horses around the front of the market are quite short. I think you could be definitely looking for a horse. Maybe you could be looking beyond 10-1 for something in here. I mean, there's a bit of money for Silverthorn and Holokia. So I wouldn't put anybody off backing something at a bigger price here, because I think the market principles are pretty short for this for me.
Paul Byrne interview in The Currency, if you haven't read it. I thought it was compelling.
200? 220, was it?
What's that?
Paul, how many words?
Like, honestly, it's a 19-minute read, I think.
No way.
Yeah, he was just...
Not like him.
No, but it's not... I know Paul. He's talking about his dad, Davey, being a quiet guy, but Paul was, like, it was just ad lib, but... I asked him at the end of your Cheltenham Fancies. Now, he's sort of half tied in with other horses that he sold or yada yada. He might even have sold horses since. Very sweet on Back Me or Sack Me. And you're getting 5-1 this morning. What do you like?
Yeah, fair. I thought Carasso Blue could be the classy one who's able to deal with the step up. You know, Gordon has lots of these type of horses. Carrasco Blue here, what, mark of 142. I thought that was fair. Give my annual shout out to Walking On Air as well, who I love seeing cheering.
Walking On Air.
But yeah, as Walking On Air's sister is brought in from the field by me every day. So
lovely.
Yeah, but yeah, Carrasco Blue the bet.
JD, you are Walking On Air. You are in Cheltenham, and it is the most magical place at this most magical time of the year. We're going to go firstly for your nap, actually, JD.
My nap of the day, and once again, Patrick Mullins was in here last November. I said, give us one horse for the season to follow. He said Leader Dallier. Leader Dallier is in the hands of Willie Mullins, 113 festival winners, by far the most successful trainer in the history of Cheltenham. Paul Tennant is on. I know they've got Margie Park as well, but for an each-way bet, to finish in the first three, Leader Dallier, about 11-1, is my nap of the day each way, and hopefully he'll finish in the frame.
I love Saratoga. I'm not sure when I'll be back there, but I love Saratoga the place. I love Saratoga the bet and the Fred Winter. That is my nap on day one. Finally, for the nap, we're going to Tom Bugsy Malone.
I'll go north of the border then with Quebecois in the fourth race of the day for Paul Nicholas.
Nice kind of American team
way.
There.
There we go. Look, yeah.
I'll tell Quebecois you what, JD, that if somebody punts a fiver each way on that treble, he'll be €10 worse off.
Yeah,
but imagine if it won, JD.
Imagine. Like, that's the thing. What was your bit? Have you ever had, did I tell you the story about, I did a lucky 63 at Cheltenham in 2005 for £126, and I had a 33-1 winner, a 6-4 winner, Moscow Flyer, and a 5-1 winner. And then I had DeSoto at 20-1 in the last, a four-year-old in the bumper. And it was beaten very, very narrowly by Miss That. And it would have got me £15,000. It was £1,500 I got back off it, but I just went to Willie Mullins in the winners in a closure, and I don't think he heard me. I doubt he heard me, but I kind of just shouted into the air, "You've cost me £15,000." So when Miss that won the bumper in 2005.
I tell you what, you're a braver man than me. JD, your charity bets on day one.
My charity bets, folks, we have obviously to tell you as well, please gamble responsibly. You never gamble more than you can afford. That's important to say, folks. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Cheltenham, 28 races. Just have fun, please, and enjoy your week, right? But we do have a €200 charity bet with William Hill for Cheltenham every single day. And the charity bet goes this way, folks. This is what we're going to do. So Leader Dallier, who I mentioned there in the 120, we're going to go for odds that I put these bets on about an hour ago. So some of these horses will drift, some of them will come in, but I'm going to go with the odds I put the money on for charity about an hour ago. So 120, Leader Dallier, 10-1 for 25 each way. The 2 o'clock Kopeck Dibord to win the Arkle, 11-8 for €30 win. The 240 Winston Jr., 6-1, 15 each way. The 320 Confusion, 22-1 for 15 each way. The 440 O'More Park, 18-1, the Fairy Tale of New York price for 15 each way. And then 520 Waydash, 10-1 for 15 each way, guys.
Brilliant talking to you, JD.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Tom. Enjoy day one.
Yeah, great to have you in, and I love this anticipation.
This feeling for the next couple of hours. No bets have lost.
No
horses have been beaten.
One doesn't have a trouble in the world.
No, it's a magical time.
It's Cheltenham, baby. That was the pod, the racing pod, day one.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.